This morning,
as you've already heard from our lay, we are continuing in our walkthrough of the grand overall themes of the Bible. And this morning, as we turn to the text in a moment, we are at the point of the resurrection. Now, as we talk about that this morning, I'm hoping that as you read the text, you won't jump too quickly from Friday to Sunday. Because I think there's that natural tendency for us to do. But as we navigate towards Easter Sunday this morning, catch the Saturday in the text. And catch what that means for you and I as well. Let's read God's word this morning. From John chapter 20. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look at the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you were looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you will put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus then said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he said these things to her. So far the reading of God's word. I don't know if you read the newspaper at all, but if you read the newspaper every morning, and I check out two or three of them, it often leaves you feeling uneasy, doesn't it? Hurricane Dorian unleashed on the Bahamas and left it devastated. Went down to the Carolinas and flooded South Carolina, made its way up to Nova Scotia, uprooted many, many trees, left thousands without hydro.
Politically, the world is moving into uncharted territory around the world. We are moving into a season where countries around the world are moving to populist governments. We're moving to uncharted territory. Economically, they are predicting that there is going to be a downturn in the economy, and many people are saying, "Hold on just a little bit so I can sell my house and get out of town." You follow the U.S. news at all. CBS News stated that as September 1st, the 244th day of the year, has already surpassed 283 mass shootings in the United States. No matter how good our lives are, we need to deal with the reality that in our world there is brokenness, and the story of many are hurt and heavy, and we fall asleep and we close our eyes and we're thankful that it's not our story. And yet at some point in the story of our lives and in the story of our text, there is an uneasiness and a hardship and a grief that enters into our story, and it begs the question, how do you live life without hope? The answer is you can't. We weren't created to live lives without hope. Without hope, we leave and go down paths of despair. not only as individuals, but as a nation. I don't know if you can recognize the picture of this lady. Her name is Fatin. Her story is told in the novel Les Misérables. If you've ever seen the musical version of this book, her story is profound and has so many great analogies for sermons. But here in this picture, Fatin has walked down a path that has been a hard life. She met a young man and she had a child with him, and they weren't wed, and he left her alone. And now she has this beautiful child to raise on her own. She's being taken care of by some cruel, let's call them babysitters. They were mean and they were vindictive. Well, Mom Fatin went to work every day, and her employer finds out her situation, and because it wasn't acceptable, her lifestyle, well, she's fired from her job as a factory worker. She's forced to sell her hair to take care of her daughter. And then she sells her teeth, and through a good portion of the movie, she sells herself just to take care of her daughter. And then she gets sick, and she's accused of a crime. Her life is dark. Why do I start the resurrection story right there? Because let's be honest about it, that in the text and in the story of our lives, there are Fridays and Saturdays in our lives, and it's very easy to get stuck and not make it to Sunday. Here's why it's important. Every story of the Bible ties into the grand story or the upper story of God, which you will recall if you've been with us over the last year, starts off with God wanting a relationship with his people. By Genesis 3, we messed it up pretty bad, and he promises that he's going to send a redeemer, the Messiah. He's going to send Jesus to redeem us from our sin, to make that relationship with God possible again, to give us the assurance of eternal life. And the rest of the Bible tells that story up until this moment, where we have now gone through that story. Jesus has died, and we're waiting for his resurrection. That's where we are in the big story, but also in the little story, the lower story of our text. We have a personal encounter with Mary, but also with you and I, where God is bringing into her story, into our story, the assurance of the resurrection. Because remember, remarkably, we don't go from the crucifixion to Easter. There is a day in between. And so Mary, early in the morning, probably around 5 or 5:30 in the morning, begins to make her way to the grave. She's going to anoint Jesus' body with spices. She was going to prepare his body for burial. But you may recall that the stone had already been rolled away. The guards had already left their post. Because if you know anything about the time, nobody wanted to have any evidence that Jesus could have been resurrected. The soldiers deserted their post because the body was gone. The only thing that meant for them was they were going to be prosecuted for allowing this to happen and most likely lose their life. And now Mary and the other woman are at the tomb. And Jesus is gone. Somebody must have stolen his body. The other women remain there, but Mary runs to tell the disciples. And Peter and John, they begin to make their way to the tomb. And the one arrives there before the other. And he stands at the door of the tomb, and he can see that Jesus is gone. That the cloths are laid nicely folded. But the other disciple runs in. And he sees what happens and he believes. Have you ever wondered what the text means when he says he went in and he believed? Here, they see this hysterical woman named Mary coming to them and telling them that Jesus was gone and that somebody stole Jesus. I believe they, in fact, believed her that somebody had stolen Jesus. Not that he had been raised from the dead yet. Because the text tells us that they did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to be raised from the dead. So what did they do? The disciples did the only thing they could do. Remember, they were behind locked doors. They were devastated. They went home. But Mary and the other women stay at the tomb. And then there's that question. Mary, why are you weeping? To which she says, because they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have taken him. It begs that question, what is that hope that we're not meant to live without? Wilkinson, in his writing on this text, says very interestingly, he says, what is it? Is hope wishful thinking? Is it naive optimism? I mean, we use that word hope all the time, right? I hope it doesn't rain. I hope the economy bounces back. I hope so-and-so gets in the next election. I hope our Canadian sweetheart will win the U.S. Open. And she did. Or maybe, I hope the sermon's not too long. Wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. The dictionary tells us that hope is a desire with the expectation of fulfillment. Isn't that interesting? That hope is a desire that we expect to be fulfilled. Without it, everything falls apart. If Bianca would have had no hope of beating Serena or would have given up, she wouldn't have had that moment of it happening. If the Saints think they have no hope of going to the Super Bowl this year, they might as well give up, but they're going to the Super Bowl.
No way. They're going 0-16.
He doesn't get lunch today. When investors have no hope, the economy plummets. When patients give up on hope, statistics tell us that their health begins to fail. So why do I tell you all of this? Because Mary came to the tomb that morning with no hope in her heart. That's why she brought spices. She knew that Jesus had died. She knew that he had been buried. She didn't understand the resurrection. She came there for a funeral, not for a resurrection. The empty tomb did not speak of the resurrection, not by a long shot. And here's how we know. Mary came to the tomb and she wept. What else was there to do? Martin Luther had a season of his life where he experienced a season of darkness within his story. And it lasted about 3 or 4 days, and it was bad. And so on the third day, Luther's wife came down the stairs and she was wearing black funeral clothing. And Luther asks his wife, who died? To which his wife said, God died. To which Luther responded, but God is God. God cannot die. To which his wife responded, the way that you're acting, it looks like he did. I think whether it's Luther or whether it's Mary, there are moments in our lives where we get the text. We're not at Sunday. We may still be on Friday Or maybe we're on Saturday. Because there's the question again. It's asked twice in our text. Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you sad? And I think the reality of the text and the reality of the story of our lives is we like to rush from Friday to Sunday. We like to run or rush from the struggle in our lives to total healing. And I think our text gives us something practically for life. Don't rush the good news. It's okay to not be okay. Have you ever noticed how we try to fix it? It'll get better. In time, things will get a bit easier. Everything happens for a reason. They're in a better place. If it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. Why is it that we don't like to deal with the issue of the hurt in our lives? Why is it that we can't be still and in that moment allow God to work and to speak and to bring movement? I think in our text, the best thing to do is to simply be there and to be in the moment. What a beautiful question. Woman, why are you crying? I think it's in those moments that we're invited to the graveside where Jesus was, into the hurt and the story of those to whom we know, to very personally, intentionally, and pastorally enter, to listen into the season of grief before the healing can come. And then notice what Jesus does. The question is asked twice. Woman, why are you weeping? And then Jesus says, Mary. And in that moment, her grief turns to joy. And she says, Rabboni, or teacher. She recognized who he was. And in that moment, there was joy in her heart. See, it wasn't enough for Mary to realize that the stone had been rolled away, that the guards were gone. We, like Mary, need that encounter with Jesus. Because when people come to us and say, prove to me that this is true, we can historically give you the fact that a stone that big and that large would be too hard, not only for the women, but for a number of people to move. We can look at the historical fact that the soldiers would have been put to death for leaving the tomb or allowing the body to be stolen. They would not have allowed it to happen. We can look to the historical records and the biblical records, and we can prove to people that the Bible is true and that the resurrection happened. We can look to the fact that who the witnesses are and prove the resurrection. Because this time, culturally, if you wanted to pull something over, you wouldn't have used women as your witnesses. Their testimony wasn't valid in a court of law. But who does the Bible use? It uses women to be the first encounterers of the empty tomb, to be the proclaimers of the resurrection. We could tell the story of how the disciples would leave the closed doors and they would go out and they would tell the story of faith. We can tell people all of that. But until you and I meet the Jesus of the cross who rose again from the dead, there is no hope. Hope is what offered in the cross and in the resurrection. We have the hope of eternal life. We have hope. And because we have hope of a personal God who not only redeemed us, but who sits with Mary in her time of grief, who comes to Lazarus' family and he weeps over the loss of his friend, we have a Redeemer who understands, who sits with us in the moments of the Fridays and the Saturdays. We have hope because you and I have purpose in a risen Christ. And we have hope because the best is yet to come. The Bible tells us that because of all that God has done, and as he now sits at the throne of heaven, and he is waiting with his Father, and he's interceding on our behalf, there is going to be a moment where there is going to be no more sadness, no more sorrow, there is no more death, and there is no more pain. All as Jesus fulfills what he said from the beginning. And one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be perfect like it was in the beginning. And just as God understands Mary's story, this morning God understands your story and my story. And he is strong enough, and he is wise enough, and he is powerful enough to do something within your story. Mary must have been so overwhelmed. I wonder if she fell at his feet. We're not told. I wonder if she hugged him. I wonder if she just grabbed him and gave him a great bear hug and didn't want to let him go. And here's why I wonder that is, he says, stop holding on to me, or stop clinging to me, because I have not yet ascended into heaven. And Mary takes off. And she says, I have seen the Lord. And she ran and she told everybody. It wasn't going to be like it was. It was going to be different and it was going to be new. But Mary had hope. I love how the book of Hebrews says it. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for God is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hope is the confident expectation that God will do something good in this life and the life to come. Hope isn't wishful thinking. Hope is confident living. If you've seen that musical, Les Miserables, Les Miserables, the story ends wonderfully and powerfully. Fantine has died. Her daughter has been put in the hand of Jean Valjean, and he lived a good and a long life. And he later presents her to a nice young man to whom they would be married. And as they end the story, all of the characters, those who have lived and who died, gather together, and they sing a song of hope. The song of hope focuses on the words, let's join the crusade. Or will you join the crusade of hope? The resurrection is a story of hope. Are you ready to live in hope? Because of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection, when we put our faith and our trust in him and him alone, there is a reason to have hope that he can change our lives and radically use our lives for good. Picture it. Because of the resurrection, those who are filled with anger can be filled with peace. Those who are overbearing can become gentle and meek. Because of the resurrection, those who are anxious and worried can learn to rest in God. Those who are stubborn by nature can learn to be a little less stubborn. Those who are proud and arrogant because of the resurrection can learn to be humble and meek. Those who are stingy and tight with their money can learn to be a cheerful giver. Those who are discontent and critical can learn to become filled with thankfulness. Those who are dead spiritually can come to life. That's the good news when you get to Sunday. When you move beyond the grief, we too, like Mary, can say, he's alive. And because he's alive, as God walks and moves in and through your story, I think he invites us to do two things in the text. One is this, is to go and tell everyone you know, everyone you meet in your words, in your actions, in your life, the story that Jesus is alive. And your life will be that radiant testimony to the world. And the second thing is this. This is going to be the hardest thing I think our text invites us to do. Is to sit in the midst of the Friday and the Saturdays with those we know. To answer or ask the question, why are you weeping? And to listen. Don't rush with the trite Christian pat answers. But rest. Rest in that moment. And as you rest, walk towards the resurrection so that together we can profess the hope that is in us. Because Easter is good news. It is the story of life. It is the story of victory. It is the reminder that God is with us and He will always be with us. And so as you go through this week, we can have hope. Because it was Friday and Sunday's coming. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give you thanks that you are the God of hope. We give you thanks that on that Saturday, you came and met Mary exactly where she was. And in your grace and in your wisdom, you got her to Sunday. Just like your plan from the very beginning was to get us to Sunday. And I just pray, oh God, this morning, whatever it is that may be hindering us from getting to Sunday, that you would bring people into our story that would help us get there. And Lord, as we live on the other side of the cross, as we live in the fact that you did rise again, that you did ascend, the evidence is there. That we personally, in our own story, would meet you this morning, and that we would be able to say with an assurance that he is risen, and that grace would flow through our lives, that Lord, our lives would radiantly touch the world. And Lord, thank you that in all of the areas of our lives, there could be a Friday, but Sunday does come. And Lord, as we pray for that Sunday to come, Lord, we just pray for those in our congregation that are waiting for that touch of healing. Lord, we thank you that Ken could move out of the ICU. And Lord, we pray that as he now is on the fifth floor at the hospital in Newmarket, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen his body. Lord, well, we just pray that the infection would continue to subside, Lord, and that you would just allow him to regain enough strength, enough mobility, that, Lord, he would be able to return home to Maria. And, Lord, that you would walk with them as they journey together. Lord, we thank you for the faithful visitors who are encouraging him and Maria in this process. And, Lord, we just pray that you would be near to them this morning. Lord, would you be with Taya as she anticipates surgery this week? Lord, we pray that you would not only keep her healthy until that point, but you would guide the doctor's hands. We pray that the surgery would be successful. We pray that the recovery would be swift and as pain-free as possible. And you too would strengthen and restore Taya during this time. Would you be with Bruce as he continues to recover? Lord, we thank you for the success of surgery. We thank you that everything seems to be going well with the healing process. Lord, we pray that the discomfort would continue to subside, Lord, and you too would just strengthen his body. And just restore him too to full health. Lord, would you continue to be with Martin? Lord, as he continues to make the Chartwell residence his new home, that it would get more and more comfortable each and every day. And that, Lord, it would be a blessing for him and for Taya. And that, Lord, that you would just give them both together all that they stand in need of as they continue to adjust to this new form of living. To be Phil and Janetta in their work in Tanzania. Lord, we pray that as an offshoot ministry of this church, Lord, as they serve in the area of healthcare and medicine, Lord, that you would use them to that end and that there would be much fruit from their work. And Lord, next Sunday, as we have our ministry kickoff Sunday, Lord, we give you thanks for all the hands that make the ministries here happen. We thank you for the gifts and the talents. We thank you for an exciting upcoming ministry season. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored in all of that. And Lord, we give you thanks that we can do that because of the hope that we have in you. Thank you for Good Friday. Even thank you for Saturday. But Lord, thank you that Sunday has come. And the best is yet to come. May we live in the hope of that assurance in our story. In your name we pray. Amen.